This is going to be lesson two, the study of physical and spiritual. Now, we ended a while ago, we were talking about physical and spiritual circumcision. We dealt with that. Now let's move. I need to make some ground up, if I can. Underneath, I guess, what we wrote last time is what? Circumcision. Now write a church. Write a church. And let's look at the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. The last book that the Apostle Paul wrote.
Okay.
Only one chapter.
45.
Philemon, chapter 1. And verse 1. Now this will be pretty simple. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphilia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church, next three words.
In thy house.
In thy house. Now let me ask you a question, physical or spiritual? Physical, why? Because it's actually meeting in someone's living room, I guess you could say. It's a physical place. They were meeting. It's a local, what we call a local church. We believe in the local church, by the way. A lot of people confuse us not believing in the local church. We believe in the local church. I pastor a local church. We have that here. Holy Hill Baptist Church is a local church. And it's made up of members. People come, they want to join with our church. We try our best to make sure when they come down, we ask them, say, hey, are you saved? Because we want a saved church membership. Then ask the question, could a lost person join our church and us not realize it? No. Yes. There's lost people on church rolls all over Dyersburg. We've all known testimonies about people that thought they were saved and weren't saved. We were a member of a church for 10, 15 years, and we finally realized they were lost and did not know Christ. Well, they were a member of a church, and they were lost.
Amen. Amen.
It's a local church, a physical place. Is found in Philemon. Another place is found in 1 Corinthians. We will look at it. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Same wording. I think Priscilla and Aquila or something. So, the church in thy house. Same wording. They had a church in their living room, I guess you could say. I say living room, wherever they had in their house. It's a local place they met. If that's true, and it is, then this local church here, this Holy Hill Baptist Church, wherever you go, Lenox Baptist Church, different places wherever you go, Faithway Baptist Church in Troy, those are local churches. Those are physical places we can put our hands on. If that's true, and everything else we have followed procedure with, the physical always points to something spiritual.
Right.
Without hands, that you can't get your hands on.
Yes, right.
Now, if that's true, and it's been true everything we've dealt with thus far, then it's true with this.
Amen.
So, this physical local church here, Holy Spirit Baptist Church, points to something spiritual. We're going to find out what that is. Now, you would write Philemon 1, verse 2 here, 1 Corinthians 16:19 here for physical. And I'm fixing to give you the spiritual verses now. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I don't want to deal with a lot of this. Anyway. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 20. Well, 19. There, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now watch. Day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes down. Well, back up. Jesus Christ, when He raises from the dead on the third day, He lays a cornerstone. Not a physical one, a spiritual one.
Right.
And the apostles and the prophets, or what does it say? Apostles and what? And the prophets are laid on top of that. Jesus is building a building. When Jesus arose from the dead, He did not build a Holy Hill Baptist Church.
Right. Right.
The building that Jesus built when He arose on the third day was a building you didn't see. Not made with hands. He was a cornerstone. Peter, James, John, whoever else, apostles and prophets lay on top of that. Day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit put them into there. Laid those foundational stones there. Alright, now watch this. Look at 1 Peter. Write this one under Spirit. 1 Peter. For a second. 1 Peter chapter 2. What am I doing in Revelation? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a lively or living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Talking about Jesus Christ. You also, as lively stones, are built up a what kind of house? Mm-hmm. Not a physical one, but a what?
Amen.
A spiritual house. Notice this. A holy priesthood to offer up what kind of sacrifices? What did they do in the Old Testament? Physical sacrifices. What do we do now? We offer spiritual sacrifices. You know where your spiritual sacrifices are? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 or 2. Whatever it is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what he said. Holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, look. He said there's a spiritual house. This local church is pointing to that spiritual house. That physical, and I keep pointing in there for those of you watching on video, I'm pointing in there to our auditorium, our church in there, our building. That building in there, that local church in there, should be pointing to something spiritual. Mm-hmm. That spiritual house. Those Old Testament sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament is pointing to some spiritual sacrifices taking place in the church.
Change.
What are they? I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Reasonable service.
Amen.
Now let's go back to Ephesians 1. I know we're bouncing back, but I want to do them in this order for this reason. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1:22. I'll show you another verse too. 1:22. And have put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the what? All right. Church. Let's see. Physical or spiritual? Well, hang on. Let's read. Verse 23, notice there's a comma after church, right? That means it's fixing to tell you what that church is. Church, comma, verse 23, which is what? The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now let me ask you a question. In John chapter 2, he said, he said 3 days he's going to tear that tabernacle down, or temple down, and rebuild it in 3 days. And they said, 46 years that thing took to be built. And you're going to tear it down. And the Bible says in John 2, they did not know that he was speaking of his body. He got up. He made a spiritual house that you didn't see, can't be seen. Here's the problem you get into. Well, back up. You know how you get into this spiritual house, not made with hands? You know how you get into it? By being saved. Question. That spiritual house, is there any lost people in it?
Not one.
Question. Holy Hills Baptist Church. I hope we don't. But could we possibly have some lost people on our members? Then it ain't the same thing. So there are those. You say, why are you telling us this? Because there are those that make both of these the same. They make that place, that church in there, the same as the spiritual house in there, and they say, you have to be baptized by me into this local church, or you cannot be saved. You ever heard that before?
Sitting in the hen house
doesn't
make you a hen.
Because I said, sitting in the hen house don't make you a hen.
Right.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Roman Catholics are good friends. We've got good friends of Roman Catholics. We love them and pray for them. They birth them babies in. They get them baptized as soon as they can. What? They think that local physical church is the house of God. The spiritual house of God.
Right.
And they're two different things. That physical thing is pointing to something spiritual. It's a big difference. Physical and spiritual, big difference. We got some good Church of Christ friends. We love them. But they will tell you in a heartbeat that you've got to be baptized by one of their preachers into their Church of Christ. And they see that place as the spiritual house that God built when He rose, came up from the grave. They're two different places. They're two different things. One's made with hands. We made this one with our own hands. But that spiritual house that God built, not made with hands. All right. That's good on something. Let's look at water baptism. Right under church there, water baptism. Let's look at this. I've got to hurry. Let's just cut to the chase because we've been through the book of Acts. We've been through the book of John. We've been through the book of Matthew. And we've dealt with this extensively. So I think I can take the privilege and assume some things. Matthew 3, you can write that under physical baptism. Matthew 3, Acts 2:38, Matthew 3:11. Anybody know who baptizes in Matthew 3? Matthew 3, John the Baptist is baptized. He's baptizing before the cross. Is a water baptism. That's a physical water baptism. Remember, physical always points to something spiritual.
Right, right.
So if somebody take a wild guess, well, don't. Because if somebody answers wrong, I don't want to be. But that water baptism I better show you another verse first. Alright? Look at Acts 3. Acts 3. Everybody knows Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, rinse the sin, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of denominations love that verse. And most of the time don't know half what it means. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, go back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 17. Peter's preaching from Joel chapter 2. And he says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." You notice that? "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Notice verse 18, middle of the verse. "I will pour out in those days of my spirit." Verse 19, "I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Verse 20, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great noble day of the Lord come." Anybody want to take a wild guess what Joel 2 and Acts 2, verse 17 and following is referring to? Acts 3:19, "Repent, be converted, your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come." Do you know what John's baptism and Peter's baptism was pointing to? That's the second coming. Acts 2. What in the second time? Coming. When the times of refreshing shall come. When you're... somebody look... Romans 11 up real quick. Romans 11, real quick. Verse 25 and 26.
"For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in."
Okay.
"And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob."
All right. Israel shall be saved. Y'all see that? Israel shall be saved. When? Read that again. When? Something about a deliverer out of Zion come.
Yeah. "And Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob."
There's the second coming. When John the Baptist was baptized, you know why I drew it over the cross? Because that cross wasn't sitting there when John was baptized.
That's right.
This is before the cross. John didn't know anything about that cross right there. Acts 2, the cross had happened, but Peter didn't connect. He wasn't connecting it yet. So he's still pointing this direction towards the same heaven. That's spiritual. This is physical. What about this? This is a spiritual thing. All right? Now, what about ours?
Amen.
What about ours? We believe in baptizing people when they get saved, baptized. Why? Well, watch this. Everything physical always points to something spiritual. If their water baptism, physical, pointed to something spiritual, then so does ours. Acts 8 and 36, Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch after he got saved. And Acts 19, the Apostle Paul rebaptizes John's converts. In Acts 19, under the new program. Acts 16, 31, Philippian jailer got saved. Paul, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Paul baptized Philippian jailer. All right, so on and so forth. 1 Corinthians 1 gives you a list of, right in there, of different ones. Achippus, Philemon, a bunch of them that Paul baptized. He wanted to baptize. But if that's true, then it has to point to something. Well, guess what it points to? Well, let me get the red out for it. The blue was for them. We're standing right here. Here I am. And I'm getting baptized. Guess what I'm pointing to? I'm pointing back history. What do I do when I get baptized? Death, burial, resurrection. What am I pointing to? That's a physical thing. Does it save you? That don't save you. It just gets you wet.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You see, you cannot make physical water baptism. You can't make physical water baptism a spiritual baptism. You can't make them the same. Or you will wind up believing that you have to be water baptized to be saved. But if you believe the Bible and believe physical versus spiritual, and both of them are different, then 1 Corinthians 12:13, look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what?
One body.
Well, Jesus got up on the third point of the day. He said, I'm going to raise this body up. We just read about when you get saved, you're placed into that body. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Spirit does this baptism.
Right.
Who baptizes you if I do it out here in the water?
You do.
I do. Who does it when you get saved and we don't see it? It's not me. I physically place my hands on people and put them under water, showing a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Spirit don't do that. You don't get to see it. What does he do? He spiritually, when you knelt down, before you even got baptized, water baptized, you knelt down, got saved, wherever you was at your house, you was in drive down the road in your car, you was down at the altar here, wherever, Holy Spirit of God come down, got you. He placed you in the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. You didn't get to see it. Not made with hands. So you know what you want to do. If we didn't get to see it, then you want to show forth a testimony.
Amen.
And you come up and say, preacher, I want to be baptized. Well, why? Do you think it's Satan? No, I don't believe it's Satan. I just want to tell everybody. I just want to show everybody what the Holy Spirit did for me. Let him get to see it. So I do something physical to point to something spiritual.
Amen.
Let me show you one more. I got to go. Galatians. Hurry, get to this one. You'll love this one. This is one that's misused a lot. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to move on to something else. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ. Y'all take a wild guess. Well, probably don't. Just think. Baptized into Christ. Physical or spiritual?
True.
You know? For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Did you realize, people, you were baptized into Christ and you put on Christ before I ever laid my hands on you and put you in water?
Amen.
How do I know that? Verse 28. There. Where is the there pointing to?
In the Bible.
There. All right. Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There. In Christ is the fact. Is neither Jew nor Greek. That in the body of Christ is neither bond nor free. That in the body of Christ is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Ask your question. I've baptized a bunch of males and a bunch of females out there. Guess what? When I put them under and brought them back up, they were still male and female. So do you know how I know that right there is not water baptism out there? It's because when the Holy Spirit baptizes you and places you into the body, there is neither Jew nor Greek.
Amen.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. We are all one in Christ. That's a spiritual thing.
Amen.
You see how you mess up? Physical, spiritual. Put them all, oh, it's all the same. Yeah, so every time you see baptism, it's always water. Yeah. Oh, really? You're going to be messed up. You'll be going to church down the road here. Where is that?
In 29.
And if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And heirs according to promise. Yeah. There you go. Now, let me do one other, and I'm going to move on to something else and get to the juicy stuff. And we may strip a clutch plate here in a minute. I dealt with water baptism, so I have to deal with Lord's Supper. We physically, on occasion, do the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. Mm-hmm. We do a physical thing by doing the Lord's Supper. We pass out the stud and wafers, whatever they are, and we pass out the grape juice. We do use grape juice because that's fruit of the vine. We don't pass out anything intoxicated.
Amen.
The Bible forbids that.
Amen.
So we don't do that. I've often wondered how those churches that use real wine, how they serve a church member under the age of 18 without going to jail for it.
Yeah.
If a store did that, sold wine or to a kid under 18, they'd throw him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But the Catholic priest downtown can do it every Saturday. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That don't make any sense to me. Neither here nor there. All right. If that's physical, then it's point to something spiritual. Well, guess what? The Lord had the Lord's Supper there in Luke 22 or so with His disciples, all this. He said, we'll do this no more until I do it anew with you when we get in the kingdom. Wording to that effect. Write this down in the spiritual column of the Lord's Supper. Revelation 19:7 says we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, what Jesus did in Luke 22 is not the Last Supper. That's the Lord's Supper. It ain't the Last Supper. The Last Supper is over here. We ain't made it to it yet.
Amen.
Ain't the last one. We're going to eat that again. We're going to eat it out there. The Lord's Supper and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 7. That'll be the Last Supper. In Luke 22, that was the Lord's Supper. And it's the supper. It's not the Lord's breakfast. You don't do it in the morning. You do it on Sunday evening. You don't do it every Sunday morning.
Amen.
As often as you do it, whenever you get ready to do it, you need to do it on occasion. We do it about once a quarter. Do it in the evening. Anyway, that's the Lord's Supper. We do water baptism pointing to the death, burial, and resurrection. Or we point to the spiritual baptism. Places in life. We do the Lord's Supper, showing something, pointing to something spiritual. Bearing something of the Lamb. Something we're going to all do together when we get to heaven. Now, let's do the last one. Well, y'all remember we dealt with kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. You'll just have to, some of you we can get, there may be some cities or DVDs up here about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Same scenario. The kingdom of heaven is the physical. The kingdom of God is, take a guess, is the spiritual. You get placed in the kingdom of God by the spiritual new birth, by the spiritual baptism. Kingdom of heaven is, of course, a physical thing that the Jews are waiting on. Thy kingdom come, so on and so forth. Same scenario. All right, last one we're going to deal with. Write down salvation. We're going to deal with physical salvation and spiritual salvation. There is a difference.
Amen.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to try my best to get this done in the next 10, 15 minutes. You heard this, someone getting saved from a car wreck, they got saved from a tornado, somebody rushed in and saved them, maybe a burning house, somebody rushed in and saved them. And they put it in the paper the next day, this person was saved. Question, does that mean they're not going to heaven? Is that a physical salvation or a spiritual salvation? A physical salvation. Now, does that not point to a spiritual salvation? We use illustrations in our preaching all the time about saving somebody from the fire. Boy, that points to how Jesus came down, saved me from the fire. It always points to something spiritual. But that does not mean that person got saved when they were rescued from a car wreck. Let me show you another one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Found it? 1 Timothy 2. I may have to do this again next week. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13. 2:13, Adam, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. Verse 15 says, Eve was saved in childbearing. Let me ask you a question. Is every woman, well, all right, watch this. Every woman that gives birth is saved. Physical or spiritual? They're physically saved. Have you ever heard this, that a woman is closer to death at childbirth than any other time? Closer to death than any other time when they're giving birth. God saves them from childbearing. Physically, that does not mean every woman that give birth to a child is going to heaven. You see what I'm saying? That right there does not mean spiritual salvation. That's a physical salvation. The salvation from the delivery of childbearing. Alright? Now, we know, if you want to write verses down in the spiritual salvation column, write these down. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13. Romans 10, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 13. And Acts 16:31. We quoted that one a while ago. Sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's a spiritual salvation. 16:31. Yeah. Acts 16:31. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. How many of you have ever heard the three tenses of salvation? Three tenses of salvation. You might want to write this down if you haven't. I was saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Presence. Past tense, I was saved from the penalty. As I walk through this Christian life, I am being saved from the power of sin on a daily basis. And one of these days I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Let me show you all three of them real quick. Look at verse 10. 5:10 of Romans. For if, when we were enemies, we were, past, present, or future, were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, that's past tense, much more, being reconciled, past, present, or future,
present.
At present. Were reconciled to God, that's past. Being reconciled, that's right now. We shall be saved by His life, that's future.
Amen.
There's all three tenses right there. We were reconciled to God, that's past. That's where we were saved from the penalty of sin. Being reconciled is being saved from the power of sin. We shall be saved by His life is the from the presence of sin. Now go back and look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified, that's 9. Justified by His blood. That means I'm saved. But the latter part says, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Alright, which is it? Well, I got saved when Jesus Christ, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He saved me, justified me by the blood. There I am. I'm looking back, saying I'm saved by the cross, right there. I'm looking back. But I shall be saved in the rapture from the presence. When I get caught up, I will no longer have to deal with sin anymore. I'm saved right now. But on a daily basis, I'm confronted with sin all the time. One of these days, I shall be saved, future time, from the wrath. There's the wrath right there. That proves I ain't going through the tribulation. I'm saved. If I look right here, I'm saved from the wrath. There. Shall. That's future. Whenever that happens, it could be tomorrow. Now, let me just give the introduction to this, and maybe we can do this next week. We have to be careful how we say stuff. Now, some, we've been through the Bible Institute before on many different occasions. We've read books after so-called, Bible scholars that know a lot about the Bible and have written books about the Bible, and certainly men have. And that's all well and good. But sometimes we get into the habit of saying phrases and we mess up and confuse people. Now, there is a difference in physical salvation and spiritual salvation. Now, how many of you have ever heard this phrase? They were saved in the Old Testament by works. We today are saved by grace through faith. We've heard that on occasion. If you haven't, that is your faith. The question is, the saved by works in the Old Testament, is it physical or spiritual? The saved here by grace through faith, is it physical or spiritual?
Spiritual.
You say? When people say that, they confuse people by making people think.
Amen.
Saved by works in the Old Testament. That we have to do this, and this to get spiritual salvation. No. They had to do this to be physically saved. So here, when Christ was dying on the cross, He would go down to Abraham's bosom. Anyway, we'll get into that a little later. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 real quick. We just have to be careful how we say it. Now, let me clear up something real quick while I'm finding Hebrews chapter number 9. Is everybody saved the same way? All right, let's think about that a minute. In one sense, there's a two-part answer, yes and no. Question, is everybody from the kingdom all the way back to Adam, are they not saved right here? Did the blood of Jesus Christ pay for everybody's sin, past, present, future?
Yes.
Then the origin of salvation is right here.
Correct.
So with that aspect, yes, everybody is saved right there. That's going to get saved or has been saved, got saved right here. In that sense. But in the Old Testament, when a saved or saved person died, they went to Abraham's bosom. A person in the Old Testament was not sealed with the Holy Spirit of, or the Holy Spirit of God did not seal them like He does us. They couldn't, when they died, they couldn't go straight to heaven. They had to go to Abraham's bosom and wait because Jesus Christ had to be the first fruits of the resurrection. So there is some differences in saved in the Old Testament and saved here. There are some differences. I agree with that. But to make a blanket statement, well, everybody in the Old Testament, they saved by works. Everybody here is saved by grace. We need to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what I want to do, because there's a difference in physical salvation and there's a difference in spiritual salvation. Let's look at Hebrews 9. I got about 5 minutes, and we'll deal with this next week. And it's probably good that we do this because we need to really have our mind focused on this one thing. And by the time you get 15 to 9, everybody's mind is pretty well tired. So let's just hit this real quick. Hebrews 9 and verse number 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats. Where did they do all of that? That blood, bulls, and goats. Where did they do that at? In the Old Testament. Right? They did all that in the Old Testament.
Amen.
We don't do that today. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the what? Alright? So, the reason they were doing those sacrifices was to purify the flesh. Physical or spiritual?
Physical.
Then what does verse 14 say? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? Physical or spiritual? Spiritual. Now, look at Galatians chapter 2. And I'm going to quickly end with this. Galatians chapter 2. And I'll go back to Hebrews 9 and we'll deal with that again. I just want to read it. There's a difference there. In the purifying of the flesh and the justification of your soul. There's a big difference. What did I say? Oh, Galatians 2. Look at verse 21. We're going to read this a lot. Let me say a phrase. The people in the Old Testament were saved by the Old Testament keeping of the law. Now, listen to that phrase. I didn't say if it was right or wrong. I just said, listen to that phrase and let's read the verse and see if it matches. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Amen.
Question. If a person in the Old Testament could do a sacrifice and keep the law and save himself, then why did Jesus come and die on the cross? If they could do something in the Old Testament to save themselves spiritually, then why did Jesus come?
Amen.
That's right.
If he came, then whatever they were doing in the Old Testament did not satisfy.
No.
They were doing it for another reason. You see, does anybody see that before we close?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave nobody hanging. I don't want you to stand up all night long. Think about this.
More like a practice salvation, wasn't it?
I mean, they were doing this as a
show of faith.
A physical.
A show of faith for what the real salvation is.
They're showing their faith. What's already in here? Let me end with this. I'll use Pope for a second. I've been wanting to do this anyway.
Yeah.
I could walk up to Pope and he'd get his knife out. Don't get your knife out. It ain't that serious yet. I could decide, I'd say, I'm going to go up. I'm going to slap him out of that chair. I've been wanting to do that anyway. I need to ask y'all a question. Before I get over there to do it, before I act on what I've already thought in my
heart,
I've already slapped him out of the chair before I go over there.
Yep. Yep.
If I go slap him out of the chair, I'm already acting on what I've already believed and trusted in my heart that I will do. So when them people in the Old Testament were doing them sacrifices, before they lit the fire to light the wood, they already did that sacrifice in their heart.
Yep.
Saying, God, I believe you're going to take care of me in the future. And they outwardly showed that of what already took place in their heart. I'll end with this. I said that three times already. Abel. Genesis 4. Hebrews 11 says he had a better sacrifice than Abel, or Cain, his brother. Let me ask you a question. He's supposed to go do that sacrifice to the Lord. He brought the right sacrifice, had the lamb and all that. Let me ask you a question. If he would have died before he lit that fire on that lamb, he's been saved.
Amen.
Why? Because he already believed God in his heart. That's why he's doing that sacrifice.
Amen.
It wasn't a sacrifice that saved him. It was what he already believed in his heart.
Right.
It's why he's acting on what he believed.
Amen.
That's the same with your water baptism. The person already knows.
Already knows. He's already saved. He's already saved. Water baptism don't save anybody.
Still a physical act pointing to a spiritual.
Physical act pointing to a spiritual. So when we, yes, I do believe salvation is a little different in the Old Testament and New Testament in the fact that you don't go straight to heaven in the Old Testament. You go to Abraham's bosom and the Holy Spirit don't seal you like he does over here. I understand there's some differences. But let's stop making just a blanket statement, okay, people are saved, no test of my works.
Amen.
Well, let's clarify that.
Amen.
Let me end with this. If a person is saved by works in the Old Testament, y'all tell me where Samson is today. Now, Hebrews says he's in heaven.
Amen.
And by the way, y'all really want me to upset the apple cart before you go home? Samson committed suicide.
Right. Amen.
All right, then.